John, do you think that music tells a story?
Sure. I think it tells us. I think it tells a story. I think it provides some sort of an emotional story in certain ways, depending on what the song's saying.
Why are the songs of the Great American Songbook relevant to audiences in 2009, in your opinion?
I think because they tell an interesting story. They relate to people. They're memorable because they're so concise. They're 32 bars, maybe 64 bars, and their titles basically give away their message. So you can hear those titles being used so many ways. Pick Yourself Up or Swonderful or things like that. They're always out there, and people can use them as sort of like musical snapshots.
Does the melody help as well for them to be memorable throughout the years?
Yeah, by all means, definitely. It's the perfect marriage of melody and lyric that makes a standard, whether it was written in 1942 or 2002.
What attracts you the most to the legacy of Frank Sinatra?
The brilliance of the singing and the overall product. I mean, the arrangements of either Don Costa or Gordon Jenkins or Billy Mayer, Nelson Riddle, and how they still have remained, those records have remained vibrant as long as they've been made. And, you can listen to Wee Small Hours, that record, entire record today, and it's as moving, as wonderful as it was the day it was released. It's still a modern record in a sense.
In that way, how do you keep those classic standards that Frank put together in the 40s and 50s fresh and vital for today's audiences?
Well, I think in the case of the record that I made, I used a band that was currently working, and the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra, and John Clayton's pen was the used his band as the palette and wrote for the band, and it was sort of his take on how those things should sound. We struck an idea of here's what we want to do, and we didn't try to copy anything as much as we tried to say, here's how we go about our business, and here's what we think of these songs in musical terms.
What element of hosting a radio show do you like the most?
Well, for my show, I like the freeness of it. I mean, the whole idea of the show stemmed from me playing records for my wife on a Saturday night when I'd sit around and connect together, say, six records before dinner. I'd say, you ever hear this one? Well, how about this version or this singer singing that song? And when we have no set playlist for our radio show, so I like the idea that we can play Bob Dylan and we can play Count Basie. It's sort of it's the beauty of radio, I think.
We have that arrangement here with our jazz shows as well. It's very atypical in the business.
And it is, yeah. It's a great way to be, though, because it lets the radio personality become sort of, when it's really done right, that's really what people then start to agree or disagree with, and it even keeps the listener wondering what's going to happen next and say, what's this person going to play? Why did that person play that one? I got to listen next week and see if that's going to happen again, or tomorrow night when the show's on again. It's really a wonderful medium for that. Before we tape, I'll find new releases or records that I want to play, and she'll make a list, and we won't tell each other, and we just go from there. So we just prepare what we're going to play, because our show is taped ahead of time and the music is added later, but we call the songs as we go along. So that's the only thing we have to prepare for. But there's nobody sends us a list and say, here's what you have to play.
Well, that's so refreshing indeed. I think one of the other things you want to do with your show, based on what I've read, is you want to bring that lost live feel back to radio.
Yeah, we just like it's wonderful the letters we get from people who become invested in it and wonder about our living room and about our daughter or about our doorman or the guests that come into the living room and comment on it and things like that. There's really, it's like a It's in effect like an old-time radio show where we say welcome into our living room and what a day it is outside, and if you look out on the fire escape now and things like that. And people really find that to be interesting.
What formal education did you have learning the guitar?
I just learned by playing, listening to jazz records and being around my father, who was a jazz guitarist. So I did most of my training was on the job or on the couch.
I see. How did George Benson influence your development?
His record of Masquerade was I almost learned it note for note just because I loved the singing and the playing. So I've sort of stolen some of that and do it in my guitar playing at times. And then also I just loved his guitar playing. I've met him a number of times and played with him, and I've always admired the way he plays the guitar. So, you know, I can't play like him, but I can hope to aspire to play like him.
How does the Nat King Cole Trio influence you artistically?
Well, the Nat Cole Trio is basically the reason why I do what I do. I love their approach to making music, and it had, you know, a sense of humor at times. It also had a great sense of jazz and a sense of swing, and it's a whole approach was something that I wanted to use as a foundation for what I was going to do as a musician.
Could you describe in more detail how you play chord solos?
Well, I have a 7-string guitar, which has a low A on it, and a lot of my chord solo guitar playing is based on, or has as its foundation, the guitar playing of George Van Epps, who invented the 7-string guitar, and then would probably be about 60% of him and 30% of my father, who is sort of a descendant of, in a sense, musically, of George Van Epps. And then, you know, I take my 10% and try to figure it all out. So it's wonderful. It's sort of like using the guitar as a lap piano and coming up with a bass note and a chord, and you have that idea, almost like a stride guitar kind of feeling.
You're a guitarist, a vocalist, bandleader, radio host. Which of these roles excites you the most?
The guitarist-singer part. I like going out on the road with my quartet and playing concerts in cities, and going to cities that I haven't been in ever, and states sometimes, and just making music. I mean, that's really what brings me the most satisfaction, I think.